Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, August 1st, 214th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the second, Cliff Clendenin. Hey, guy.
Hey, nice to be here.
You survived rodeo week.
Yes.
It appears.
And
Autorama.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's
called. Auto Expo.
Thank you.
Somebody else has the patent on that.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing the stupid little things we fight over?
Yes.
Oh, well.
And we'll get into some of those in a moment.
Probably so. this afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time. Rex Bone's coming on board next week, so we'll talk a little bit about Rexy and some of the things that he can anticipate. Also, general plan update. We've got some things going on in Southern Humboldt we need to talk about regarding fire districts and some fire protection, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll get an update about the safety corridor. Is it just still as safe, or we got more drunks doing more stupid things between Eureka and Arcata? I still can't believe that guy did that. What a goofball. Anyway, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Cliff Clendenin. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from David Owen, political guy from Britain, Olympics, etc. If I had an accent, I'd probably really do a very poor
That'd be
one
fun to listen to.
I don't think so. No general in the midst of battle has a great discussion about what he's going to do if he's defeated.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more of the great discussion part, not the defeated part. what would you suggest to yourself 4 years ago that you would have done differently coming into the supervisorial position?
Force myself to get more training to deal with just the volume. The second district is a really unique district. There's just an incredible amount of things happening there from the,
like time management skills kinds
of
stuff?
Yeah, land use, and just learn how to delegate better. You know, get more familiar. As a non-office worker, I mean, I certainly used the computer and did email and spreadsheets for my business, but just learning how to deal with the volume and
the pace of life
and supervisor. Pace of the stuff that comes through there. That was that was probably the biggest thing I would suggest. And then kind of accept that some things you're not going to be able to change. You got people coming up with culvert issues that dated back to the time of Harry Pritchard, and actually was able to fix one of those. That was really satisfying.
Oh, really? One of the old timers?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
And down in Wyatt, it was an issue that had drug on for, decades. But there are just some things that there's finite resources and you can't fix it for everybody. So that's sort of learning to accept that, too.
How long did those two things take you to come to grips with?
The culvert issue in Wyatt probably took two on-site meetings, probably happened basically start to finish in about 9 months. That's not.
But the realization that there are some things that you can't and won't be able to say yes, it's done, or to satisfy somebody who's got one of those.
I think that was starting to sink in after a year. That some of these things are really not
Santa
solvable.
Didn't bring it.
Yeah, and also during the entire time of my term, was the time of ramping down the county budget, so we were able to avoid some of the real draconian cuts that would have shut down the substations in McKinleyville and Garberville for the sheriff's office, but we did a lot of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul and keep those deputies on the street.
So a little bit of fiscal frugality.
Yeah, and fortunately, from Loretta Nicholas, who's finishing up an interim stint as city manager for the city of Fortuna now, while they get a new person on, She had wisely and, you know, during a better time had salted away some reserves. So we were able to, you know, very carefully work those in to backfill and then just contract county government.
Any of those you're going to be able to beat into Rex's head?
Oh, I think Rex has a great business sense from living in the private sector, so I think that'll...
Yeah, but so did you, and these things all snuck up on you.
Well, they didn't sneak up. We can see them happening, but you just have to be willing to react to them.
It wasn't your life until you stepped up and put your hand on the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, oh my.
Yeah.
What about, I'm hesitant to say celebrity. Is that something that took you a while also to get accustomed to? They would know you outside of your normal haunts.
It is interesting to have people on the street go, "Hi, Mr. Clendenin," and you know, that was my dad. You know, that was sort of interesting. But you know, there really at this level is not an awful lot of that, and so you know, and people that had been in office before had assured me that you know, any little glimmers of fame that you might think that sort of surround this, you know, this is fade really, really quick. And
celebrity may not have been the right. What I was thinking was recognition, the fact that you can't get away. Because even if your guys are you're going out for dinner, it could be going to dinner in Trinidad.
My wife learned how to answer general plan questions at a basic level, you sort of live the job. But I had done that in the private sector as a apple farmer, and people would always want to know when are the Gravensteins going to get ripe, and you know, you're sort of used to answering your work questions just, you know, at a moment's notice. So that actually wasn't that.
It wasn't as much of a whipsaw as. May have been for some of the others coming on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that thing about wearing the suit and tie, that would probably, for me, be the toughest. I'll wear the tie, but not the suit. No.
Usually the supervisor's level, you can get away with Dockers and a sport coat. And, you know,
the sport coat thing is a little too much for me.
But, that wasn't, I spent most of my life in jeans and a t-shirt, so.
There you go.
Wasn't too different.
That was do different. Die hard. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Cliff Clendenin. Cliff, as you anticipate having another new face on the board, even though it'll be for a shorter period than the other two new faces, certainly the constitution of the supervisors has changed during even just the 4 years, right?
Yes.
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Do you sense what that means? Do you have an idea how quickly directions can change? Or do you think that they are changing at all?
I think they've already changed. Certainly, like, there's more of a, as we go through our general plan discussions, there's certainly more sense of, I think, what's going to be good for commerce in the immediate versus, you know, maybe environmental protection long term. I think we always, you know, it's our job to balance those two. But I think that'll continue. I think the between Virginia and Ryan and then now Rex coming on, these are individuals that are really well known in their community and really well thought of. So I think, and I particularly think of this with Rex, he knows so many people, and I think that just can't help but sort of integrate people feeling like, you know, that they know the board and they know the county.
Will it set the table for a more unified voice or direction of the board?
Hard to say. You know, I I know Rex is, you know, an auction guy, you know, and you know, a constantly friendly face and, a you know, a real doer in the community. So, you know, this will be interesting. I have offered him, and I'm sure I'll get a chance to do this. You know, anything that I've learned or mistakes I've made or any way I can help him be successful in these next 5 months, you know, I'm happy to do that.
What was the biggest learning experience you had? Now, most people would say, where'd you get your teeth kicked in the most? But what was the best learning experience you had in the first year?
I think when you've done your homework and you just think you've got a great idea and you're ready for the board meeting and you got an idea how something should go and you realize that, well, you're 20%. And so you better you know, find some allies and you can find one ally you know, offline under the Brown Act, but on a board of five. But you better be able to figure out how to, you know, accept that, you know, your brilliant idea might not, you know, really take
shine as strong in the next chair.
Yeah.
The highway or my way or the highway doesn't really fly too well, does
right.
it?
But you know, you talk about, you know, unified voice. I mean, I think every board member always has to look out for what's the greater good. What's the, you know, what's really going to help the county as a whole?
I think that's tough.
Even if you you know, people would pigeonhole you as being part of a group or having a personal or a particular political philosophy, I think it's important to, you know, constantly test yourself and try to step out of that. And you know, if you're considered a business guy, you know, take some time and have lunch with the Enviro people and vice versa, you know, and I think that's I think we should constantly challenge ourselves to do that, you know, listen to those other folks that live here too, even if we don't agree with them.
Even if they're wrong. Do you see the supervisorial elected as a representative or as a leader? And I see a distinction between the two. Leader doesn't necessarily represent anybody's opinion other than their own. Representative obviously is the voice of the people.
I would tend more towards leader, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, a fiery speech at the board meeting. It obviously you're going to have spent, if you're doing your job, you listen to a lot of people, you know, read a lot of input. But I think what you're elected to do is to capture that, look at the big picture, which is sort of a unique view that you have there. And, you know, and you're also looking at the art of the possible, you know, where are those other two votes that you need to move something forward? And either join somebody or you can sort of lead from behind in that way.
That's called push.
Anyway, that's kind of my thinking on that.
I would tend to agree that that's what the position is. You know, you gather your information, but you still have to make your own decision.
Because if you're just waiting around for some kind of a, you know, mathematical number of emails or
consensus,
you know, people or public comment or something, you're going to wait an awful long time. And even if you have, you know, 20 people in the room that are just adamant that, you know, X should happen, from your vantage point, if you really think it's Y, you need to vote Y. And it can't be sort of a mob rule based on who showed up that day.
More of a gut check opportunity. Yeah. KINS, anarchy is the phrase I use rather than mob rule, but I think it's very parallel. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Cliff Clendenin.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:34. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Cliff Clendenin. Cliff, the general plan, is it progressing? Is it progressing as quick as some wanted? Is it progressing as deliberately as others wanted?
I think it's actually going pretty well. Chair and Vice Chair had met with former Planning Director Gerard back some months back. They were looking at, you know, maybe a couple month run, July and August, and I think we quickly saw that with a number of folks that really wanted to consider some other policies. That, I mean, obviously we had to look at the ties and the close to ties at the Planning Commission, but that as it came to be called the short list, that's expanded. Actually, it's about doubled. The board has rejected.
Isn't that always the case?
The board has. Well, I know it always takes longer, costs more.
Twice as long, yeah.
But the board has not supported starting over, and we certainly have some regular calls to scrap this process, start over, and quote do it right. We're working with what the Planning Commission has handed us, and you know, overlapping them a little bit, reviewing some of the things that were even 7-0 votes. You know, we're going through this. It's going to be about a 4-month process, and I would say it's a good discussion. You know, fortunately, we have the sort of institutional memory from Martha Spencer, interim planning director, and even longer time employee Tom Hoffweber, who's, you know, kind of coming in part time to just with his memory. He remembers the meeting from Phillipsville in the 80s, and he remembers the this and the that, you know, for better or worse, I think it's better to have that memory of what happened. That's not necessarily a decision. The decision is fresh in front of us.
But if the decision is made without having any knowledge, you know, in a vacuum.
When you have a process this long, you know, boards changing, you know, there was no one, with Jimmy gone now, there is no one on the board that was there when this process started.
Was Jimmy there when it started?
Very close to. He was there to, because he was just.
So 84?
This review process.
You're just talking about the review process, not the whole general plan process. Sorry.
Yeah. He was, because he's
not that old.
Because he's just finishing his third term.
Right. He's 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that spans the general plan. But anyway, you know, staff fills that void for the board.
So as you look at this project, this process, whatever you want to call it, obviously there's some inefficiencies that have now been recognized. Are you anticipating, would you hope to have this an ongoing process and either update element by element rather than trying to swallow the pig?
I think that's the goal, yeah, because this is, great. Great metaphor there, but we're built into this is going to be more of a periodic review and take some, you know, the Planning Commission can take some small bites, because this is just for the Planning Commissioners, this was a gargantuan task.
It was compounded not because of our geographic size, but because of our political aggressiveness of residents in the county. Yeah, the big counties, they punch this stuff out pretty much like clockwork, because there's always stuff going on and they got people designated to it. Here, because I've got an opinion, you've got an opinion, Aaron's got an opinion, everybody's got their own opinion, and by golly, mine is just slightly more important than yours and must be heard. Everybody has an opinion on every single little aspect of this thing. Well, geez, you know, to have 135,000 experts kind of slows the process up just a wee little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a good side and a downside. You know, yes, it makes the process a little slower, but I think we're lucky to have engaged citizens of many stripes. You know, I mean, apathy's far worse. So
yeah, but wouldn't it be nice to get the never, never and the yes, everything's out, so you're dealing with that 40 to 60% of the informed in the middle?
Yeah, that center of the bell curve, I think, is what we're trying to target, because, no, you're not going to do something that's environmentally satisfactory to an extremist, and you're not going to do something that's
pull it all off for those who want anything goes. Yeah,
yeah, you know, business, you know, the most business friendly that would, you know, satisfy somebody on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I just that would be one of the things I would think it would have been the toughest to be a new supervisor to grasp.
Yeah,
you're not gonna, and if your power base is from one of those, you're really gonna heck off a lot of your friends.
But I think
that's the way that this thing has to go for the community to really benefit from having a general plan.
The continual excitement and optimism for me is to try to find the, like with our growing senior population, find, you know, just to take a very, not trivial, but small example, the planning for sidewalks that would serve not only kids and get them out walking and the safe routes to schools, but at the same time, that's the same one that somebody's going to run their walker on. And, you know, they can be out and enjoying the community too. So trying to find those facilities that, you know, serve everybody.
I must be weird, but I think sidewalks are cool. For whatever reason, sidewalks to me, it's like it's a sign of a community being vibrant.
Yeah.
Or vital and maintained.
Mm-hmm.
Sidewalks.
Yeah.
That there's something about that. To have the dirt trail on the side of the road just is, yeah, unless it really is agrarian, it just looks like nobody, it's not a community yet.
Yeah, and certainly that doesn't, you know, fit in or, you know, from what people want to see in a community or either, you know, or what we could afford in a rural area. But yeah, in a town, you know, it's great.
Yeah, so if you have buildings and structures, yeah.
So we're going to hit back on when we're when the board's back on the next Board of Supervisors meeting will be Tuesday, August 14th. But then in the afternoon at 1:30 on August 13th, we'll go back and we're continuing on the ag and forestry section, which is one of the ones that takes a little more time. We probably didn't allow enough time, but good discussions and research are coming out of that. Certainly some folks from the Farm Bureau cattlemen and the timber interests are present, you know, giving us their input, which is in, and also the small farmers, many of the small farmers that are, you know, really a growing sector of the economy, spoke loud and clear about wanting, you know, prime lands to not be zoned too small.
KINS, News and Information Time. 3:42. We'll be back with more from Cliff Clendenin.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Hagee Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Cliff Clendenin. Cliff, Southern Humboldt, fire protection, fire danger season, it's all kind of coming together. Got an update on that?
Yeah, and the update is there's mail-in ballots in the Bryceland, Bridgeville, Palo Verde, that's over by Alder Point, and Fruitland Ridge, east of Myers Flat. Those four fire companies are asking to become fire districts, and so folks will be getting mail-in ballots for those, and
for those of us uninformed, the distinction between the two?
Well, once they're a district, they can get a parcel tax. So that's certainly an issue. That's why it goes to the voters and needs to get, I believe, a two-thirds majority. But with that, the residents can then support the fire protection and medical aid. And these guys, they're all volunteer, and they're the first responders for CHP, our own deputy sheriffs, and they do a ton in the community. But a lot of them, they're called bake sale fire departments because that's kind of how they're able to support themselves. So this would provide a little ongoing revenue, and from a county perspective, we certainly support this. Our county planners, John Miller and Sabelle Emmett, have put a lot of work into getting these boundaries aligned trying to get this set up so that there can be solid fire protection and medical service in the communities.
When is the ballot, when are they supposed to be returned by?
And I don't have that date right in front of me, but it's coming up this next month in August.
August sometimes.
Yeah.
So I don't know about then.
Yeah.
Good. All right. You've got exactly 1.5 minutes now to talk about the safety quarter.
Okay, the safety.
Go ahead, knock your socks off.
Well, certainly there's I think what sparked a recent discussion was the Rail 2 Trail committee that wanted to talk about having a trail between Eureka and Arcata, but that's actually backed up to kind of encompass a larger discussion, and the North Coast Rail Authority is going to take up at their August 8th meeting down in Marin County. How do we construct this committee? And so, but from our last meeting that was up here July 11th, we said that we're going to work with our rail with trail policy, work to repair the rail prism. That's the little gravel trapezoid that the rail sits on there
out
by the bay. And then look to see what are the resumption of rail service plans, either from our operator or from the east-west folks that are looking to study that. And so those are the three pieces we're going to try to work together with.
That would be a very spirited meeting. I can imagine nothing
they're,
less.
They're all going to be spirited, but I think there's certainly some commonality. And one of the things that I think, you know, we want to really look at hard is where can we get funds and working with the Coastal Commission and Caltrans and all the players to repair that gravel bed that the rail sits on, because that's protecting the freeway. So there's really a lot of interests there, and we're going to try to meld those together.
Thanks for coming by.
Okay. Thank you.
On a non-working Wednesday. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.